Pray with me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Melt us, mold us, fill us, use us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, Cody introduced our new preaching series, The Five Love Languages in Life and Worship. He mentioned that the series draws on a book by a similar name by Gary Chapman. And the concept revolves around knowing both how you like to express love and how those you are in relationship with like to express love. There are five love languages, and in the coming weeks, we'll look at each one. Today, though, we're looking at the love language of physical touch. And I don't know about you, but that seems like a pretty big subject to me. And it seems to me that it's one of those kind of taboo topics that we don't really talk about much or directly in church. Maybe we can take some steps this morning to improve that. Touch can certainly be messy and complicated because as exhilarating as physical touch can be, it can also be terribly destructive. I mean, really, all you have to do is look at all the horrible news from Pennsylvania this past week to know how horribly damaging physical touch can be. But if we respond with an all or nothing reaction to those horror stories and either not talk about it at all or throw the proverbial baby out with the bathwater and ban touch altogether, I believe we do our faith communities and our relationships in life a huge disservice. Because physical touch is an important love language, both to learn to speak and to understand when spoken. And after all, we are physical beings, and our bodies are meant to touch and be touched. In fact, it's been shown that infants and children need to be held and carried and touched tenderly, not only to grow healthy, but simply to stay alive. We've all heard those reports over the years of orphanages with off-the-chart high mortality rates in their infants where the babies were dying simply because they were not being held and carried. And what a dramatic turnaround occurred when every infant was held and carried each and every day. And of course, it's not just infants and children who need to be touched, but each and every one of us. Touch is an essential love language from cradle to grave. I often see in my visits to the elderly, especially those in memory care facilities, skilled nursing homes, the effects of a lack of touch. So I attempt to bring touch, holding hands, hugging, and the touch of God through communion and prayer. Now Jesus knew the love language of physical touch and spoke it fluently. In fact, his whole life, don't you see, his whole life, his whole existence and reason for being was to be tangible to be touchable. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, the essence of the Christmas story. And Jesus grew generous and bold and unconventional in his use of the language of touch. He held and hugged and washed dirty feet and rubbed spittle-laced dirt on blind eyes. He not only touched, but he allowed himself to be touched by sick women longing to be healed, by rambunctious kids, by a weeping woman drying his perfume feet from her tears. But one of my very, very favorite stories, and I've preached on it here before, is Jesus' encounter with a single leper. I think a good indication that it's an important story for us in our lives today is that it appears in all three of the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Listen to it now from the 8th chapter of Matthew. When Jesus came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him, and there was a leper who came to him and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, if you choose, you can make me clean." He stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I do choose. Be made clean." Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, and go and show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. May God add a blessing to our hearing as we seek now to apply this to our lives." So Jesus stretched out his hand and touched the leper. He touched what no one else dared to touch, wasn't supposed to touch, the leper. You see, Jesus was responding to the leper who came believing that Jesus could help him, could heal him if he chose to. "Lord, if you choose, you can make me clean." And the very next sentence, didn't have to think about it, the very next sentence is Jesus' answer. He stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I do choose. Be made clean." An important point. Notice this. The leper didn't ask to be touched. He asked to be healed. So I ask you, could Jesus have healed the leper without touching him? Could he? Yeah. He'd done it before, sure. Sure, Jesus could have healed. He could have healed with just a word and kept his distance. He didn't need to extend himself and get close enough to touch him, to make contact with that stinking, deformed, outcast, no good leper. So why? Why did he? Maybe Jesus wanted to show with his touch that he loved the leper as God loved him. Maybe Jesus wanted to give with his touch by making that contact. Maybe he wanted to give something of himself, something of his own strength and his own encouragement to this outcast of society. How many times in church and out of church are we in situations where we sense, we know, that someone could benefit from our personal touch, but we hold back? Maybe Jesus wanted to give with his touch comfort and hope to one who had absolutely no prospects for comfort and hope. Maybe Jesus wanted to say by touching the leper, "I care, and I'm with you. I'm with you." Isn't that the foundation of who Jesus is? We like to say Emmanuel, God with us. Close, not distant, sharing our joys and concerns, our sorrows. So, in our daily lives, in our daily interactions, in our relationships with people that mean the most to us, we know that everyone likes to be touched differently, and it's personal. It's personal how someone likes to be touched. Some people like a pat on the back. Some people would just find that annoying. Some people like to be hugged. Other people find that an invasion of their own personal space. It's always good to ask, "Would you like a hug? Is it okay if I hug you?" Sometimes I think we can follow the direction of the great baseball legend Yogi Berra, who said, "You can see a lot just by looking." So if you watch and observe somebody's body language, it's likely that they will tell you, they will give you some insight and direction onto how they prefer to be touched. It takes some effort. No doubt about that, it takes effort. But the rewards in terms of building more meaningful relationships are enormous. So if a person's primary love language is physical touch, your touch will speak louder than, "I love you." And so think about this. How do you imagine that physical contact between Jesus and the leper affected the healed leper for the rest of his life? A tender hug or cuddle communicates love to any child, but it shouts love to the child whose primary love language is physical touch. In Jesus' day, as we heard from what Cherie read in Mark, people would bring children to Jesus because they believed that the children would benefit from that touch of Jesus. When his disciples tried to shoo them away, Jesus became irate. But he showed by gathering the children together, taking them into himself, taking them into his lap and touching them and laying his hands on them and blessing them, absolutely the truth of how important they are. There's a story that I came across recently that in France, after World War II ended, there was a small church in a particular town that had been damaged extensively by the bombing. The congregation was most concerned about this statue that they had outside their church, out there to greet people. Upon looking, Jesus' arms had been blown off. The people were upset and kept telling the pastor that they needed to fix the statue. The pastor said, "No. Instead, we will be the arms of Jesus." Are we a little church in Colorado? Are we at First Presbyterian Church of Littleton willing to be the arms of Jesus? Are we willing to be the body of Christ in more than word only? Are we willing to speak the love language of touch? Again, it's truly unfortunate that physical touch has gotten such a bad name. And we are all painfully aware that with the widespread sexual abuse by clergy in the Catholic Church and elsewhere. There's a trend toward placing a lot of restrictions on touch. And while guidelines such as our safe sanctuary policy have their place, they do not ever replace the teachings of Jesus or the absolute truth. The truth that touch can be healing and life-giving. His examples of how to speak and hear the essential love language of physical touch are what we need to guide our behavior. If we throw the baby out with the bathwater, we'll just end up with a lot of dead babies, both literally and figuratively. And we're certainly not throwing the baby out with the bathwater at First Pres. Every week, we already did it this morning, we share God's love and forgiveness in the passing of the peace, in hugs and handshakes, perhaps an occasional kiss. I think I've seen it. Every week at the early service, we have tangible, touchable symbols of the body and blood of Christ as we celebrate communion and take the body and blood of Christ into our own bodies. We have ashes during Lent, physically marking on our foreheads the sign of the cross. We have the exchange of rings at weddings, and we have the cool water of baptism. And perhaps, I may be wrong, but perhaps everyone's favorite is when we have services of ordination and confirmation and the receiving of new members, the laying on of hands. When all the elders and deacons come forward, you know it's almost everybody, and you touch someone else's arm or shoulder or back who's touching somebody else's arm or shoulder and back until we have this great united touch. And we pray, and the Holy Spirit sees our willingness and does what it will. Following Jesus by stretching out our hands and touching. What does touching bring? It brings connection, healing, comfort, encouragement, care. It speaks love. Do not mistake my optimism for naivete, for I know far more than the average cowpoke about the awful effects of inappropriate touching and the long and painful journey of healing from such abuse. And I know many of you share some of those experiences too. And I trust and pray that this topic and my words do not dismiss or aggravate any of those hurts. If we're honest, if we're really honest, there probably isn't a person alive who has not experienced at least some of the ups and downs of physical touch. And yet, let's endeavor not to give up on speaking and hearing the language of love, of touch. Let's be mindful, but let's not harden ourselves to touch. We need it. It's essential. It's essential to life and health. It's essential to happiness. It's essential to our life in Christ and life with each other. After the resurrection, Jesus appeared to his disciples several times. One time, he appeared to the disciples, but the disciple Thomas wasn't there. And when the other disciples told him that Jesus was alive, Thomas doubted it. He said, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand on his side, I will not believe. So when Jesus appeared again to his disciples, and Thomas was there this time, Jesus said gently to Thomas, Thomas, my friend, put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Jesus not only invited Thomas to touch him, Jesus invited Thomas to touch his wounds. Thomas did and believed. As I see that, Jesus loved Thomas so much and understood that in all likelihood, physical touch was Thomas's primary love language. He spoke Thomas's language, and Thomas heard him and believed. Who needs you? Who needs you to understand that their physical that physical touch is their primary love language? Who needs you to speak it to them so they can hear and believe? Amen.